What would you be your vision for the New Zealand tourism industry? And if you were in a position to affect change, how would you help that along?
Yeah, I think the main vision would be for tourism to be recognised by central and local government as the leading economic and employment contributor to New Zealand. You know, we're already the number one export industry, but we're not treated like that. And this, I was the Minister of Tourism. I'd first reinstate a Ministry of Tourism and encourage the industry to participate in a national PR campaign with the benefits of tourism. And by that I mean tourism as an industry provides regional employment and shares the domestic and the international tourist visitor dollar. And, you know, the regions must receive more GS spend to be able to service infrastructure appropriately and get that, like, solid value and appreciation from mainstream New Zealand about it being a key economic driver for the country and employment.
Very good, very good. I know something that was very close to your heart, of course, when you were leading the Tourism Export Council was the environment and
Yes.
the waterways in particular. So, you know, I understand, I think clearly your position in terms of the work that's been carried out at the moment by the government, it's not enough by a long stretch. So what would you do if you were again in a position to affect change?
Yeah, well, you're right. No, I don't think the tourism industry has done enough, or the government's done enough. And like the fact that TIA is still a member of the Land and Water Forum actually gives consensus agreement that the tourism industry agrees what the government is, or in this case, isn't doing to protect the waterways. And all the main environmental groups have left: Forest and Bird, Fish and Game, you know, New Zealand Federated Mountains. And they've left in protest because, you know, after 9 years, they're not confident about it. And the fact that water pollution is a key election issue was brought to the attention by the Tourism Export Council. You know, they've been the voice for the industry in terms of fresh waterway protection, you know, rather than TIA. But of course, and it kind of staircases into, you know, the next thing is that government supports primary industry to the detriment of tourism. You know, they've got $480 million put aside for irrigation that will provide more intensification, which will contribute to more water pollution, and another $400 million to clean it up. You know, so we're talking about shy of $1 billion, and we get diddly squat as an industry compared. So the first thing would be to, you know, a central government to recognise it and then fund all the infrastructure appropriately.
Do you think the TIA should be taking a more proactive approach then on the environment front?
Absolutely. Like 85% of the Tourism Export Council members belong to TIA, and we have a 90%, well, we had a 90% agreement from the industry, from big and small, regional and city, to do more to protect the waterways, because that in turn protects our international reputation. And I understand consensus boards and, you know, organisations, but we're a bit of a lone voice in there now. And all the other stakeholders belong to MPI, you know. So tourism needs to be standing up more. They've been really silent in the last few months. And I know it's election time, you don't want to be seen to be critiquing too much, but you've got to be standing up for something.
All right. Leslie, my last question, it's really just about around the issue of social license. Given the predicted growth in tourism visitors to the country and the strain that some places in, around the country are feeling, how do you think the issue of social license, bringing communities along with the industry, should be tackled? Because it's a tricky one, and we don't want New Zealand to ever be in a position that, say, a country like or a city like Venice or Barcelona are currently finding themselves in.
It's like a three-pronged effect. The first thing is to get recognised that we're a valued economic contributor. Then you've got to have like a whole education and training PR sort of campaign for mainstream New Zealand. So this is parents and teachers as well as young people coming through to understand the value, you know, of tourism. And then the third thing is that we have to let people know about when whether a domestic or an international visitor goes to a community, all the other employment and all the infrastructure that comes with it. And if the infrastructure is good for the local people, it'll be good for the international people. And we can't be shy of not wanting to tax our international visitors that come in. Tourism or travel is a luxury. You know, when you look at all the poverty in New Zealand, people can't travel out of their own towns. So, you know, when you, and I would agree with the government that whether you are domestic or international, you should be paying a little bit more contribution. But in saying that, that doesn't give government and local governments a free pass of not managing their own assets and resources